Hello and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are with Michelle Mall. She's the Executive Director of RSVP Volunteers. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Chuck.
So, I see volunteer in the title, RSVP. Give our audience an idea of what this is about and how you got involved with it.
Yeah, so RSVP Volunteers is a nonprofit organization established in 1974, so we just celebrated our 50th anniversary last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And our organization focuses on helping to improve wellness and education for vulnerable members of our community. And we do that through 8 separate programs, and the programs have a common thread. We utilize volunteers to make an impact. So our programs serve children as young as pre-K through adulthood, and we also provide help for nonprofit organizations so that they can help make it easier for them to meet their mission.
Now, how did this all come about? Like, it's a very good idea. What was the brainchild behind it all?
Well, the brainchild was that 50 years ago, the government decided that they wanted to put out a grant to help get people to volunteer. And they specifically were looking at trying to recruit volunteers that were 55 and older at the time. The grant right now is supported through AmeriCorps Senior. So they still provide grants for this purpose. We evolved quite a bit over the last 50 years. So when we began, we were just utilizing volunteers age 55 and older. But we were able to get funding from foundations, corporations, and individuals that allow us to recruit and train volunteers 18 and older. So we have 1,200 volunteers in Greater Philadelphia currently.
Now, it seems to me that a high school senior or a college student, this would be a good thing to do, like to gain experience if they wanted to be a elementary teacher or they want to move ahead. Is that something that you focus on?
Absolutely. So anyone that's 18 and older can participate. But like you said, a lot of times students need to have that volunteer experience.
Yes.
It helps their resume as well. It helps them to be involved in, let's say, education, and they could decide whether or not that's really for them. Because we do provide volunteers in the classrooms, but we also provide after school assistance for reading and math for students, and that's all done virtually, so people can do that right from their office or home.
That's very interesting. I was curious, Michelle, that what drew you to this organization? What was something that there must have been something that clicked, saying, "Hey, this is something I really like to do."
Yes, actually, it's a funny story. I started my career in finance. Never in a million years did I think I would be working for a nonprofit organization. However, I'll tell you, it is the best thing that ever happened to me. I took time off to raise my boys, and when I decided to go back to work, I decided that I wanted to do something that was really going to make a difference. I found RSVP Volunteers. What a wonderful group of employees, board members, and the volunteers are incredible. They're selfless individuals. They just want to help other people, and it's an amazing place to work.
So RSVP Volunteers is based right here in Upper Marion Township, but it covers a regional geography, I guess it's safe to say?
Yes, we started out in Montgomery County with that one federal grant that I mentioned, but since then we have expanded to serve Delaware County, Chester County, and parts of Philadelphia.
Oh, so Bucks County wants no parts of it?
We do have a few volunteers from Bucks County.
Yeah, I asked because it's pretty big. That's a big county right nearby.
Absolutely. So we have volunteers from really all of Greater Philadelphia, but our programming really focuses on serving those people in those core areas.
And speaking of core, that was my next question. Do you seem to be getting a lot of volunteers from one sector of the territory?
Well, it's interesting. Our volunteer base pre-pandemic was age 68 was our average age of our volunteer. In a given year, we usually recruit about 250 to 300 volunteers. And in 2020, we recruited 800 volunteers. People wanted to make a difference. They wanted to do something that was going to make purpose for their lives. And our average volunteer age at that time was 45. So you can see that things shifted a bit. And now we're getting back into it. Our average age is about 62, but it's interesting. It depends on the program. Okay. For our math program, some of our volunteers are younger. They have backgrounds in computer science or engineering, typically. And for our reading programs, where we're going into the schools, we typically see some retired teachers that want to get involved and a little bit of an older demographic because they're volunteering during the school day. And then when you look at our after-school programs, again, that volunteer age will go down because people might do it after work.
I'm curious, when you've seen the shift going to younger volunteers, do you think technology had something to do with it?
Absolutely. But we were able to then say, hey, we want the seniors to still be involved. So we started a training program, our digital literacy program, and we invited seniors to learn about how to use devices, how to use Zoom applications, and that opened up doors for volunteering as well.
Do you seem to have more training on Zoom or more in live in person?
Training, I would say that there's a bit of both.
Okay.
So when you're looking at our educational programs, for example, we serve over 2,000 students.
Oh, wow.
So our after-school program has about 100 students right now.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining students, they're being served while they're in school. So we're supporting school teachers. So there's a combination of virtual and in-person. It kind of doubled our workload because pre-pandemic, we were just doing in school. And now we've shifted to virtual, and now there's a need for both.
Okay.
Because the demand for student supports is so great.
Now, is the support from the teachers in the school system very good? Is there a lot of communication between RSVP volunteers and the teachers?
There is. We work a lot with reading specialists so that they can recommend to families that they participate in the after-school program. So we get a lot of referrals from the reading specialist.
Wow. If you looked at one, I think you said eight programs, is there one program that you seem, the volunteer's not where it's at, we need more volunteers in this one program out of the eight, which one would it be?
Right now, I would say our math program for after school, it's completely virtual. You don't have to have teaching experience. We will teach you, we will train you, and you don't even have to know how the teachers are teaching math these days. We provide everything, and we have a waiting list of students, so we really need volunteers. And that would be from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock time frame, a half an hour twice a week.
That's not bad. So if just by chance, if somebody was watching this program and wanted to volunteer, what would the process be like?
I would recommend they go to our website. It's RSVP, M as in Mary, C as in Charles, .org. And you'll see a little button that says volunteer now. You can fill out the volunteer enrollment form. And we take care of all of the background clearances that are required to work with children. And we do the training and onboarding, and you'll be matched with the student for a semester.
So, and just to reiterate, there is an age requirement, 18 and older?
18 and older.
That's it. And do you, is anybody in the organization responsible for matching people up so they are age appropriate?
Yes, we have a volunteer services department that once you fill out your application, we will run the background check, a criminal background check. Then you will get a phone call and have an individual interview with our volunteer services coordinator. And they find out what you're interested in doing and your availability, and she will match you up with a volunteer opportunity that really is perfect for you.
One program I'm curious about is the digital literacy program. How was this derived and how's it going so far?
Yeah, there's such a need for digital skills training in our community. And we started this program in 2020, right after things shut down. And we were getting a lot of calls from seniors saying, hey, we need help. Can you have a volunteer drop off food on our doorstep? Because they didn't have the knowledge of how to use Instacart or some of the other applications, but they had devices. They just didn't know how to use them.
Right.
So we dropped off the groceries, but we also developed a program that at the time we called the Senior Technology Training Program. So we were training seniors to learn how to use devices, and we were doing it all virtually, but it actually worked.
Nice.
We spent a lot of time on the telephone at the beginning, trying to get them connected to email and understand how do you click on a Zoom link so you can actually connect with your trainer. But since then, we've expanded the program. It became really obvious early on that it wasn't just seniors that needed the help. When students were issued devices to learn from home, if their parents weren't literate in how to use a device, basic computer skills, their students really struggled with learning from home. You know, we saw that firsthand with our reading and math programs that were virtual. If the parents didn't understand how to connect to Zoom, their students were missing classes. They were missing their sessions. So we opened up our programming to be able to teach anyone that needed to learn about digital skills. And then we heard about a group out of Southern Chester County called the Southern Chester County Digital Equity Alliance. And they were trying to solve the same problem we were at the same time.
Yeah.
So we joined the coalition, and we decided that we were going to start a Train the Trainer program. And this was expanding upon our digital literacy program in Montgomery County. And we were training staff from trusted organizations in Southern Chester County so that they could then in turn train their clients. And the goal was they already had trusting relationships with their clients. So by training them, just like we train our volunteers, they could then pass on the knowledge. So we did a needs assessment in the community, and we found that there were five areas that they needed help with. Internet safety was one, email, using email, navigating browsers, using applications, and using Zoom. So we developed a curriculum in English and Spanish that is then used to train our volunteers and nonprofit staff, and they can then train others in the community.
Very nice. Now, I know you've mentioned Zoom a number of times. Is that the only platform? Like, I know there's Microsoft Teams is another one.
Right.
Is that in the mix at all? Or
Teams and Zoom are similar, but individuals tend to use Zoom more than Teams. Businesses tend to use Teams more.
Gotcha.
So we find that we can teach both, but our core curriculum really focuses on that Zoom.
Right. I guess because it's more user-friendly, right?
It is a little bit.
That's what I figured. But you mentioned Zoom a couple of times. I figured, I wonder if they do other ones at all. So when you look at this program, are you happy with how it's been growing, I guess?
We are. We're thrilled. In fact, recently we started offering trainings both in person and virtually through CareerLink. And we're helping people that are searching for jobs use technology. Because if you can imagine, if you're searching for a job, you're looking online for a job through maybe Indeed. When you're applying, you need to use email to send your resume. You might need to use an app if you're downloading the Indeed app and applying that way. And then your initial interview is probably via Zoom or Teams. So to understand basic skills in the digital world is so important for everyone.
Well, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm just more curious because you're dealing with seniors, for instance. What platform seems to be more conducive for them to excel in, the Android or the iPhone?
Well, it depends on the individual.
Okay.
But we do trainings on all platforms.
Right.
So we can even come out to your community organization and do a workshop on how to use an Apple iWatch. Yes. You know, so there are topics that to choose from. It's right on our website. So if you go to rsvpmc.org, click on community resources, you can find a link for individual one-on-one training. We do that for any community member. All of our services are free of charge. So let's say that you might have a parent that wants to learn how to use their smartphone a little bit better. They might want to learn how to text their grandchildren or send pictures back and forth. They can sign up on our website or call us. Our number is 610-834-1040, and they can ask to be matched with a volunteer trainer, and they will train them individually, one-on-one. Typically, it's an hour at a time for people that really have some skills they want to learn. It may be two times a week for an hour, and we work with them until they've met their goal.
Well, it was a very politically correct answer, of course. I was just more curious. That's why I asked, because, you know, people always say, what's better, Android or iPhone? What do you see more of? I guess I should have rephrased it saying, do you see more Android phones or more iPhones?
We actually see both.
Oh, okay.
Although I'm an Apple girl myself.
Yeah, so am I. That's why I'm more curious, because I've had both. And if you ask me, I think the Apple product is easier, more intuitive. I think that's the safe way to put it. And I was curious if RSVP seen it the same way. That's why I ask. So just to give you a little bit of my insight. But so this digital literacy program, what do we have planned for the future with it? Is there a horizon?
So we will continue to offer the training free of charge for community members. Also, we will be expanding our fraud prevention and mitigation training.
That's
so
big.
That is huge. Yes. So next year we're going to see a big scaling up of that effort. So we need volunteers that are willing to be trained on how to train others to prevent fraud and mitigate fraud. And we'll be doing workshops at senior centers, community centers. We'll be doing one-on-one training, continuing to do that. And we do see an expansion with the workforce development area as well.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the fraud, because I was just reading, by the way, they're cloning phone numbers now. So you would think it's your institution calling you, everything's coming up, but it's not. And
yes,
they're able to get information out of, especially an older person who would think, hey, this looks like the real thing. So it's...
There's so much they're doing, and with the addition of AI, they can clone your voice.
Yes.
And so that has a lot of seniors afraid as well. They make it sound like it's their grandchild calling them. So it's really important to go through training and really understand what the risks are out there.
Michelle, when I was looking at your website, one thing that I noticed, there was, I think it was called virtual drop-ins. What is a virtual drop-in? I really couldn't get it to figure it out on my own.
Yes, so virtual drop-in is a way that you can get help if you have a question about your device or technology or any kind of technology-related question. The second Tuesday of every month from 6 to 7:30, we offer these drop-ins. So you can register on our website so we know how many to expect, and we have a group of volunteers and staff available to answer your individual questions.
Wow. And how many people, I should have asked you this in two sessions ago, are involved? How many volunteers are involved with this virtual drop-in? I mean, it seems like you have an army behind you.
Well, we have 1,200 volunteers that serve all of our programs. But for the digital literacy program, we have about 30 right now.
Which is nice, but I'm sure you can always use more.
We can always use more volunteers, but we also need more clients. So if you need help with your device, or if you really want to set up email, if you don't have an email account, we can help you set that up as well. Just go to our website under the community connections, or if you don't use a website because you're not computer literate yet, you can call us.
Are there... a corporation sponsoring this volunteer? Like, do you have any corporate backing to help you get the word out?
We do raise funds through our annual golf outing, which happens every July. Yes. And it's held at Rivercrest Golf Club. And it's a wonderful location. If you've ever golfed there, everybody loves it. And that is our main fundraiser of the year.
And that's good. And it also gets the word out for you to attract more clients and volunteers.
Absolutely.
And that's the big key. The more, I guess, notable you could be with this, the better it is for the organization. It seems like it's been, like you said, it's been around for 50 years. It's showing that it's very sustainable and it's serving a purpose.
It is, but we could never do it without our volunteers. So it's something that volunteers say that they get something out of it themselves, and it's true. Actually, there are statistics that prove that volunteering is good for your health.
Oh, that is, I did not know that. That's yeah. It's a good thing to know. It was funny because you were talking about the phones in our last session. I learned how to do stickers for the first time. So now it's like my new toy. So when you send a text, you could send it loud and it could burst. And people are like, how did you learn? I just stumbled across it. I didn't go have somebody trained. So, but people that would work for your organization would be able to do something like that.
Absolutely. We train people on how to organize apps on your phone, how to delete them, organize them, download them. There's a ton of things that it really just is based on what you want to learn.
Now, in the organization, as you said, it's made up of mostly volunteers. Are they sectored out? And what I mean by that is like, all right, Michelle's an expert in the phone. She's going to be the one leading the charge with a group. Is it broken down into other groups?
Absolutely, because sometimes volunteers are Apple product experts and they may not know how to use Android. So we do really use volunteers with what they're comfortable
right
teaching.
And I'm thinking when you say the Apple product, you could go to an Apple store and get a couple of those, what are the Genius Bar. Would you like to volunteer a few days a week? That would be a beautiful thing.
That's great.
Yes.
Good
thinking
idea.
Outside the box, you know, that's how it works. And that's the key when you're trying to get volunteers, especially for an organization like this, it helps people from young in school and for the seniors, it's a win-win all the way around. So it what I'm saying is it really encompasses a large group of people, so the more the merrier.
Absolutely, and we have something for everyone. Whether you have 15 minutes a week or an hour, we could find an opportunity that meets your needs.
So a client who's watching you too, I know I asked if somebody wanted to volunteer, but somebody who's looking for assistance, how do they go about reaching out to you?
Just give us a call, 610-834-1040, and you can let them know you're looking for some digital skills training, or if you are tech savvy enough to get on our website, click on our community resources, and you can sign up for classes right online, or you could even request a workshop for your community group.
Oh, that's nice too. So if there is a group out there that wants to learn about how to work Zoom.
Right, or internet safety, for example, we can come out and we can do it both in person or virtual workshop for you.
Now, virtual must be much easier because the travel's not involved and you could probably hit more people. Is there a limit on how many people can attend a Zoom meeting?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all.
That's good, because spaces sometimes could be an issue. That's why I asked.
Right.
You know, which is pretty good. So now that you have these 8 programs in place, are you looking to add any more?
Right now, we're looking to serve the people that are most needy in our community. So whether it be, you know, providing volunteers for Meals on Wheels programs or food pantries, helping the students in schools, or helping people learn how to use technology, those are the areas that we're really focused in on.
Yeah. What is your, like you mentioned Meals on Wheels a couple of times. What's the agreement you have with them? Do you guys work hand in hand together?
We do recruit volunteers for over 150 nonprofit organizations in our footprint.
Oh.
So that's through our volunteer services program. And we do screen and vet volunteers and refer them over to a number of programs, whether it be food pantries, Meals on Wheels, senior centers, libraries, thrift shops. So we have 150 nonprofit partners that we supply volunteers for.
Now, I know you mentioned a lot of like government agencies. How about corporations? Do they reach out to you as well for you to come in and do like an in-service?
We do. A lot of times corporations will reach out and they want to do group projects. So sometimes they'll volunteer and do some team building They will wrap books for our Head Start kids. We give out books 6 times a year to each of the Head Start children in Montgomery County to help them build their home libraries. And we have companies that will help us with that.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about that. There are a lot of companies now that require their employees to volunteer a certain amount of time, and this seems to be a nice connection.
Absolutely. And they could volunteer right from their desk if they want to teach a student math.
Wow. And you should reiterate, that's probably one area that you could look for as many volunteers as possible.
Yes,
right?
Because we are only limited, the number of students we can help is only limited by the number of volunteers that we have. Because we match them up one-on-one for the whole semester. So they're not just helping them with tutoring, they're really becoming more of a mentor.
And what I find interesting is, obviously we know what math could be. You could have early education math from first to third grade, but then you go up into the algebra and the geometry. How does that all come into play?
So we teach third grade and up.
Okay.
And it really is based on not what grade they're in, but what skills they've mastered. So when the children come on board, they take an assessment online, and the program is diagnostic, and it will learn what skills that student has mastered and which ones they need help on.
Ah, that's pretty good. So someone who's watching this program and wants to get involved, how would you go about doing so?
So if they want to get involved as a volunteer, go to our website, rsvpmc.org, and there's a volunteer now button, and they can just fill out the application and we will contact them.
That's awesome. It's a great service, especially here in Montgomery County. I hope a lot of people take full advantage of it. We'd like to thank Michelle Mall. She's the Executive Director of RSVP Volunteers. And if you need any more information, please go to their website. So from all of us here at UMGA Television, I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.